Let's pray. Those first angels came with news of great joy. And so we pray now that you'd help us to understand, loving God, just how wonderful and joyful this news is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Unfriendly and arrogant. That was pretty much my first appraisal of Chris. We were at university together. We kind of bumped into each other on a number of occasions. And all of my suspicions were pretty much confirmed when we ended up on a kind of student conference together. And I was there, kind of introducing myself. He was there kind of giving monosyllabic answers whilst coolly texting his girlfriend, which at that stage I had never had myself. The funny thing was, though, that over the coming years, we actually became very good friends. And as I got to know Chris, I realised just how wrong I had been. He's actually a lovely, thoughtful, humble guy. And actually, 2.5 years ago, he was my best man. And we're still friends, even after he shredded me head to toe in the best man speech. Perhaps you've had a similar experience. Your first impressions have turned out to be totally wrong. Like me, you're probably grateful that you persevered and got to know the person for who they really are, instead of the kind of person you had left in a kind of pigeonhole that you had created for them. It's interesting, isn't it, how quickly we jump to conclusions about what people are like, and often actually on the basis of pretty slender evidence. It's a shame. You miss out on people for who they really are. And it can be easy for us to do the very same thing with God, especially at Christmas. We can think that God, a little bit like Christmas itself, really is just for the little ones. Adults, well, they grow out of that kind of thing. It can be easy to assume that if God is there, which might be a big if for some of us here tonight, he's probably a kind of abstract force. Certainly no one you can really know much about. Or perhaps just a set of morals by which we live our lives, not someone you could grow to love. And so we leave the God thing just to one side. But you know, the wonderful thing about the very first Christmas, when that baby was born in the manger, 2,000 or so years ago, it was as if God sat down and said, "Wouldn't you like to know what I'm really like? Well, let me introduce myself." He gives us the opportunity to go beyond our kind of half-formed assumptions and actually get to know him. And when we take time to consider Jesus, well, the God we meet is infinitely more majestic and awesome and wonderful than we could ever have imagined. So I wonder if you'd join me just for the next few moments as we consider a single verse from the Bible. It's printed on your service sheets, and it's from the reading we've just had. Familiar to some of us, perhaps, and I hope it'll help us to see what the God revealed to us at Christmas is really like. Let's just read the verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We're going to briefly pick out four surprising things about God from this verse. And the first is this: he loves. He loves. Now, of course, we've probably heard this before, haven't we? But doesn't it seem an extraordinary thing to say when you actually look at the world around us? I read the other day that 90,000 children will be homeless this Christmas in the UK. We think about the squalor of the refugee camps in Syria at the moment. Perhaps closer to home, and we look at our own lives and, you know, a marriage that is feeling hard at the moment, a job that is slowly killing us. Perhaps it's the first Christmas without someone that we love. And we think, can we really say that God loves? Now, perhaps you've seen Disney's Frozen. Apparently the director had to officially apologise to parents for the songs becoming too annoying. If you've seen it, we meet Hans, who very early on kind of sweeps Princess Anna off her feet. And he certainly talks a good game. He's handsome, he's charming, and after about 3 seconds, Anna is convinced that she's found true love. And only later on in the film, of course, we realise that it was all just a show, Hans was just in it for what he could get himself. He claimed it was love, but it wasn't love at all. And I just wonder if that's what we can think of God sometimes. All this talk of being loving, but, well, he certainly talks a good game. But really, is it all a show? Are we like Anna, victims of wishful thinking when it comes to God's love? And yet there it is in our verse again. For God so loved the world. And of course we say, how? Empty claims of love, well, they mean nothing. Show it to us. How have you loved the world? Well, that's what the rest of the verse goes on to talk about. For God so loved the world. That so means in this kind of way God loved the world. But he loves. It takes a second to our second surprise. He gives. He loves, he gives. The verse again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And I think this takes us by surprise, because isn't the view of God we often have of one who takes? You know, given half a chance and he'll take everything he can get. Your Sunday mornings, he'll take them. Your small pleasures in life, he'll take those as well. And if you're not careful, all of your cherished freedom will be snatched up by him. And so we keep him at arm's length. And yet when we stop to look at the God revealed to us at Christmas, it's so different. He's a God who gives. More than that, you see the verse, who gave his one and only son. This time tomorrow, you'll probably be happily slouched on the sofa in front of Doctor Who. And if you're anything like me, you'll have opened your gifts already. And I wonder which ones will mean the most to you this year. It's normally the ones, isn't it, that we know have been most carefully thought through. You know that there's been hours of brainstorming and shopping around, perhaps making things, organising things. It's been costly in some way, not just kind of 30 seconds browsing on Amazon. By the way, if you did manage to do your Christmas shopping in 30 seconds, well done. Very efficient shopping indeed. But gifts like that, they show us that someone cares for us, that we've been the object of so much time and thought. And when God gave his son, well, it was that kind of a gift. He didn't just give us a kind of token world broadcast. Hello, world, God here, just checking in for Christmas. No, he gave us the person he cares about more than anything in the world, his son. You know, the Bible says that God and his son, that they have enjoyed a perfect relationship in all eternity. It's hard for us to get our heads around. Joy and love right at the heart of this relationship. And yet God gave his son for us. And you know, when Jesus was born in that dirty feeding trough, God gave us the perfect picture of himself. At the beginning of John's gospel that this verse is from, says that he was with God and he was God. So in other words, when you look at Jesus, well, you see what God is like. By the way, if you've not ever read a gospel, well, do take one. There's a load at the back there, free of charge. It's a little gift from us to you. If you want to get to know what God is like, well, this is the place to look, where he's revealed himself. And you know, the Jesus that we meet in the pages of the Gospels, well, you know, he's just like the God who gives. He himself does nothing but give. He gave time to the lonely. He gave sight to the blind, forgiveness to the sinful. He even gave life to the dead. He said himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he perfectly lived that out in every area of his life. In fact, as we read on, we hear Jesus saying that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that takes us to the third surprising truth about God in this verse. He loves, he gives, he saves. He saves. Again, the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He loves, he gives, he saves. But then we so often think of God as someone who demands. You know, he demands that I live in a certain way and match up to his standards. And then if I do that, he will accept me. And my parents-in-law, they live up in a village near Northampton. And they have an annual Santa run. Has anyone ever run in a Santa run here? A few people, perhaps. And it's an extraordinary thing. Everyone dresses up as Santa. That's the only requirement for running in this race. You dress up as Santa. But one particularly athletic person, he gets dressed up as a Christmas pudding. And the Christmas pudding gets released about 5 minutes before. And then all the Santas get released afterwards. And they have to catch the Christmas pudding. It sounds fantastic. I've not had a chance to do it myself yet. But it's easy to think, I think, that that's what it's like with God. We are just frantically trying to keep up with his standards. Only his standards are so high. And we get tired trying to keep it up. And, you know, even if we think we are keeping up the standards, there's no joy in it. It's so exhausting, so demanding. Here's what Richard Dawkins says. Do you really mean to tell me that the only reason you try to be good is to gain God's approval and reward, or to avoid his disapproval and punishment? Looking over your shoulder at the great surveillance camera in the sky, that the still small wiretap inside your head, monitoring your every move, even your every base thoughts. Well, I wonder if you have ever thought that God is demanding. But again, when we meet the God revealed in Jesus, because we see a God not who demands, but who saves. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the truth is actually none of us can live up to God's standards. The God who made this dazzling universe is as pure as the brightest star, but no one can measure up to that. But the Bible says it's much worse than that. Actually, each of us is part of a grand conspiracy against God. Like that famous innkeeper, we've all said, no room, no room for God in this world. No room for God in my life, in my priorities, in my decisions. I'll be the one making the decisions around here. And so the God who's given us everything is shut out. Well, and the result? Well, it's the broken world of homeless children and refugee camps that is all around us. We have turned from God and ruined his world. And it's much more serious than just that, because in the words of this verse, each of us now is perishing, cut off from the God we were made for, facing his righteous anger and punishment for the way that we've treated him. And yet, you see, that's the wonder of it. To that kind of world, to the kind of world that says, no room for you, God, God sent his son. To a person as self-centered and forgetful of God as me, God gave his son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, as Jesus gave his life on the cross, it was in place of mine. That's where this little child who was born would eventually end up. You see, it was me who deserved to die for my rebellion, to be cut off from God. And yet such was God's great love that he gave his son to die and to be cut off in my place, to save us, so that instead of perishing, we might have eternal life. The life with God we were made for. And so you see, we have a God who loves, a God who gives, a God who saves. And that takes us very briefly to our final truth about God, and that is that he invites. He loves, he gives, he saves, he invites. Now, perhaps we don't come to church very much. Christmas, Easter, perhaps, if we're feeling keen. And one of the reasons is because we look around and we think, it's just not for me. I'm not the right type. I wouldn't fit in. I don't know what it might be. Perhaps you feel guilty. Perhaps we've not grown up in a religious background. It all just seems a bit odd and alien to us. Perhaps we just think it's irrelevant. I don't know what you think. But whoever we are, The God we're introduced to through Jesus is a God who invites. You see our verse one more time. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. Amazing. You see, it's not that God just sits down and says, let me introduce myself to you. No, he flings open his arms and says, whoever you are, wherever you've come from, whatever you've done in life, come to me and I can give you life through Jesus. I've given my son for you. And could there be anything more important or relevant to each of us than an offer of life when each of us is perishing? But what must we do? Well, whoever believes in him. That's the amazing thing. Simply turn to him and trust in the Son God has given us, in all that he has done for us. Not to be so proud as to think we don't need him. To admit our rebellion, to ask Jesus to take my sin and shame. And whoever we are, as we do that, God promises to give us that new life of joy and love now, an eternal life in the world to come. You know, I'm aware that for many of us here, this might all sound very strange indeed. We've not come across these things before. Can I encourage you to come along to our Christianity Explored course? It's a set of very informal evenings over a meal, and we discuss some of these things. We look at a gospel together, chance to ask any questions. There are details at the back. We'd love you to join us for that if you'd be interested in it. I don't know if you've seen the John Lewis advert this year with Monty the penguin. It's very adorable, isn't it? And the little boy gives another penguin to Monty for Christmas. And the music in the background at the end says, it's real love. It's real love. It's love of a kind, isn't it? But just the faintest echo of the most real love there has ever been. The God who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, the God we meet at Christmas is so much more wonderful and majestic than we could ever have imagined. He's a God who loves, who gives, who saves, who invites. And so it's my prayer that this Christmas, each of us would come to know God as he really is.